I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You know, one of my pet peeves, just watching television these days and being a part of it, is, you know, the talking over each other thing, and then that awkward moment where you try to wait and let the other person talk, and then you both jump in at the same time again. It's horrifying, and it's the new normal.
It's a daily occurrence for Kimo and I. Hey, buddy, you're right in the middle of getting ready for the 95th Opry anniversary show on NBC on Sunday, and you're co-hosting with Brad Paisley. Please tell us there's some shenanigans that's going to ensue.
You know, Brad is, and you guys know this, he's so funny, and he's got such a dry sense of humor. And, you know, you combine that with, you know, COVID-19 protocols with, you know, having to stand 8 feet apart or whatever we ended up doing, you know, for our hosting duties for this thing. And you would think that, you know, Brad and I finally get a chance to get together and just, you know, be jerks to each other. We did our best, and I hope it comes across on television, because, you know, it's, when you're trying to jab somebody and they're across the room and you're yelling the joke or whatever, you just hope it's landing right for television, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. Do you think it will?
I don't know. I'm not going to lie. But I tell you this much, you know, we're happy to be a part of this thing. I normally would never be, you know, have the nerve to kind of step out and throw my name into a hat for any kind of a hosting job. Anytime I've done things like that in the past, it's always an invitation from whoever to be a host, you know. But when I heard that they were doing this thing, I actually heard through my manager. I said, "Well, man, who's hosting it?" You know, and he said, "Well, they don't know yet." I go, "Well, if they're looking for somebody, put my name in the hat, because that's something that I would be proud to do. I'll find the time. I'll cancel whatever I need to cancel to get there and do it." And then, sadly, you know, after I committed myself, I found out that Brad was going to be my co-host, and there was no backing out of it at that point.
Right. Well, congratulations on the new single, Minimum Wage, which is, after everybody settled down, a love song. Hello.
It is a love song. I stand by that to the death. I think when the song first was released, people are so sensitive right now, you know, and for good reason, obviously. But sometimes I think people are looking for clickbait and a headline to grab to get people's attention. And that's definitely what happened with Minimum Wage when it was first released. That's, you know, all that stuff's kind of gone away now. But I'm no, trust me, I'm no stranger to controversy. And normally I do bring it on myself. But, you know, this time, you know, this is a song. It's a love song. And there's no, I refuse to hear any other spin on that subject. So we stuck with our guns and put the song out. And it's doing great for us. So I'm glad we did. And fans seem to love it.
All right, Blake, Gwen said she wanted to meet a guy from another country, not a guy from the country. That T-Mobile ad during the Super Bowl, hands down, spectacular.
Absolutely.
Thank you, guys. I haven't had so much reaction from anything I've ever done, you know, which is, I guess, maybe in some ways kind of sad, you know, from, you know, over the years, winning an award or whatever lucky thing may have happened for me. You know, my phone has never erupted like it did for that T-Mobile ad. And it was fun to film that. When I saw the script, Gwen and I, when we first saw it, we were cracking up, because people are, people to this day just, and I'm one of them, by the way, just can't wrap their head around the fact that Gwen Stefani is my girlfriend, now my fiance. It is ridiculous. I admit that. I will admit it. I don't know what she's thinking, but I'm glad that we did that, and I had a chance to make fun of myself there a little bit. I can take some jokes.
Let's talk Gwen for just a minute. You're now kind of become a stepfather to some degree.
Yes, sir.
What's that like?
There's definitely nothing easy about it. I don't know if it's as hard or harder or not as hard as being an actual biological parent, you know, but the stepfather thing, I have a stepfather in my life who is one of my heroes. I love my stepfather and I look up to him and he's like a father to me. And so I have a good inspiration in my life to how to do this and the kind of stepdad I want to be. And I take it very, very serious, you know, but I also have a blast with it. I'm not going to lie. I don't take it so serious that I'm not enjoying this time,
right?
Because I really am. And especially, you know, now that we're 5 years into this thing, I can't imagine my life without these kids now, you know.
I think without a doubt, everybody knows you are going to be a phenomenal stepfather, and it is such a blessing. Speaking of the wedding, have you lost the 10 pounds yet?
Oh, God, no. I've kicked myself a million times. You know, I did that. Luke's got some kind of a stupid podcast or something. I don't know what he's doing, but he asked me to be a part of the thing, and I agreed to do it. And I should have known, you know, he was going to set me up on this stuff. I think at the end of it, he had like the rapid fire question thing or whatever, and he asked me, "Am I going to lose any weight for the wedding?" And of course, I want to. And the good thing for me is we still haven't set a wedding date, so I don't feel like I have to start yet, because, you know, until there's like a concrete target date, I'm not gonna waste my time losing weight for no good reason. You know what I'm
saying?
I mean, I gotta keep it packed on until the last minute, obviously.
So it's kind of like cramming for a test. You don't worry about it till the day of.
Exactly.
Or the day before.
Exactly.
Well, it's been almost, it may even have been over a year since both Kimo and I saw you live. That was our final tour before quarantine, surprisingly.
Last show.
What do you love the most about the little downtime that you've had?
I actually feel like I've had more than a little downtime. To be fair, even though we kept the voice going through, you know, the last year, we never missed an episode. We never missed a live episode. But we were able to do it from home, and for me that was in at the ranch in Oklahoma, and I still kind of felt like I had that time off. You know, there's a big difference in being, you know, in Hollywood. You know, when you show up at the studio, it's a full day to do an hour live television show. You know, and as my excuse at the ranch was, well, I don't have to get ready. You know, I can just keep wearing the same shirt for every episode and have the excuse of, hey, you know, it's quarantine. I don't know what else. We're roughing it out here, you know. And so I kind of felt like it was like the last day of school every time we got online, because I felt like I could just kind of have fun, be on Zoom with my friends, and it didn't feel like we were doing a national live television show. It just felt more like hanging out with buddies on a Zoom or something. But as far as answering your question about what I did with the time off, I'm outdoorsman. And so, did a lot of fishing, did a lot of turkey hunting and just country stuff in Oklahoma. That's pretty much what we did.
I would imagine now that you're back working on The Voice in the studio, that's gotta be a complete change. I mean, especially with COVID as part of that equation. And now, of course, you have to wear different shirts every episode.
Yeah.
That.
You know, I don't know what it's like for you guys going into the... Are you guys broadcasting from the studio, or are you guys doing it from home now?
We're from home now, yeah.
We're back in the studio. We started back in July, and it really is like walking into a hospital or something. You know, they've done a good job of keeping everything super clean. It's almost a little bit weird, to be honest, after 10 years of doing this show, and you walk in and there's kids everywhere, there's people's families are with them, their best friends from home. It's like millions of people that are there, it feels like. And then to go from that to only who has to be there to get the job done and get the show on the air, you realize, you know, it's like a ghost town in that studio now. People that you see, you know, they stay far back and they've got, you know, double mask on and a face shield and some kind of a plastic suit on. It's like, wow, you know, we're really down to the bare minimum. But it does feel like we're, for the most part, once the red light comes on and we're filming the show, it feels a lot like it always has, because it's still the, you know, the camaraderie of the coaches and the, and the, you know, the, and then the opposite of camaraderie when we argue with each other and you know, get in our fights that we always get in. You kind of get lost in the moment and you forget that there's no live audience there, you know, and you're just right back in it again. And we've gotten, it's going to be weird, actually, now that I talk about this. It's probably going to be weird when a studio audience is back in there again someday, because it's probably going to feel like a huge distraction.
Yeah, no doubt.
You know, to have a, you know, the applause and people laughing and stuff, because we've gotten so used now. We've sat through two blind audition processes where there's no audience in the room, and it actually makes it a lot easier to hear these vocalists.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting.
But you don't get the feedback, which is kind of weird, I imagine.
I think it's more weird for the actual artists that are auditioning than it is for us coaches, because if you make it onto the show, you're in your mind like fireworks are exploding, you know, you get to celebrate with your coach and you're jumping up and down. But if you don't make it on to the show and it's a no from everybody, I think that's when these artists really feel the sting of no audience in there, because there's no it's going to be okay moment from the audience applauding, and you know, you kind of get that send off of, you know, but now it's just crickets on top of
right,
you know, you didn't make it onto the show. It's got to be brutal.
Blake, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to Kimo and I today, and we just can't express enough how much we adore you and Gwen, and let us be the first to early congratulate you on your upcoming nuptials. And this Sunday, we look forward to watching you on NBC for the 95th Opry anniversary show.
Thank you guys so much. I love y'all. I enjoyed this.
Thanks, Blake. Take care.
Always great to talk to you.
You too.